1 Timothy chapter number 4. If you're able to, let's stand tonight in reverence to God's word. If you're not able, that's fine. But if you're able, let's stand together. The Bible said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, or by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Remain standing for just a moment. Ethan, would you come up here and pray for Pastor Son before that I preach tonight? I appreciate that. I appreciate that so very much. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, let this be a good message, God. Save anyone that's here, Lord, that needs to be saved.
Amen.
Just, Lord, don't let them sleep. Just bother them constantly. If they need to be saved, let them be saved, God. And if there's any burdens on anybody's heart, let them come to this altar, God. Bless this message. Bless the preacher. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ethan. You can be seated. What I want to look at tonight kind of is the Lord has led my heart following up on this morning's message. I want to preach a message tonight. We saw two groups this morning. We saw a group that was bigger than that percentage that came down, that according to statistics says that when they get out of high school, they're going to go away from church. They're going to go away from the things of God. I want to know that tonight, this is what's in my heart, how many would be interested in knowing how to stay up here? How many be interested in knowing how to stay by the stuff and stay with the things of God, stay in the house of God? And I believe that what Paul is giving us here, he's writing to a young preacher, Timothy. This was birthed in my heart in verse number 12 when it said, "Let no man despise thy youth." I believe with all of my heart that there are those in the world that have this attitude. Why, them young people can't do anything. And I don't believe that's right. I don't believe it's right to despise their youth. But Paul gives Timothy a recipe for success in this chapter. The word success is only used in the Bible one time. I can't quote the verse exactly. Let's see, what chapter is that in? Then shalt thou have good success. Where is it at? Joshua. That's right, Miss Eve. Joshua chapter 1. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter number 1. It fits. I didn't plan on using this, but it fits hand in hand with what God has given me tonight out of this chapter. I'll try not to keep you too long, but I want to get some things across. Let's look at Joshua chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. How many believes that we need some young people and older people alike to be strong and to be of good courage? I don't believe Joshua was a real old man when God put him in the shoes of Moses and to follow the great leader of the children of Israel, Moses. He said, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, or you could say the word of God there, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let me say this to each and every one of us. When we're walking with God, serving God, saved by the grace of God, when you turn to the right or the left from this old book, you're headed for trouble. We got to stay with the book. That's where our strength comes from. The Bible said in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, God don't want the Bible in our mouth, but he said, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In other words, God doesn't just want it in our mouth, but he wants it in our mind and he wants it in our heart. Even when we don't have our Bible open, he wants to have access to our mind that he could recall scripture to help us. And I'll say this, especially in times of temptation. Jesus 3 times said, it is written, it is written, it is written. That was his defense against the devil there in the wilderness. He said, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm going to say this tonight. That word is only in the Bible 1 time, and it all centers around the book, and heeding the book, hearing the book, hiding the book in our hearts, David said. And so tonight, as we go back to 1 Timothy, let me give you, I think I have 5 things on my heart tonight. Let me give you 5 things hurriedly and quickly that will keep us on the firing line for the Lord Jesus. Number 1, we need to be right in our doctrine. We need to be right in our doctrine. You've got people today that are so ignorant. I didn't say stupid, but ignorant. It takes an ignorant man or woman to make a statement like this. Doctrine's not important. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is what the Word of God teaches. And beloved, doctrine is very important. We need to be right in our doctrine. And this is a young preacher, but it doesn't matter. If you want to stay with God and go on with God and have a life that counts for God, we have to be right in our doctrine. Let's look at some verses. In verse number 1, it talks about doctrines of devils. So in other words, the Lord is not the only one that has a doctrine or a teaching. When you say Bible doctrine, what you're saying is the teachings that come straight out of the Word of God. It's not a man's opinion. I'm not against footnotes. I carry a Scofield Bible. I have for years and years. But I'll be the first to admit, I'm not as smart as C.I. Scofield, but I don't believe everything he put in those footnotes. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, he's got it in there in different places that in the original manuscripts you won't find these verses. I don't like stuff like that. Don't tell me that you're going to take verses out of my Bible. God put them in there. Amen? And I believe it's important, beloved, listen, to know that God preserved his word to every generation. So we need to be right in our doctrine. Now, the Bible's, that's a false doctrine. Doctrines of devils. But what about God's doctrine, scriptural doctrine? Look at verse number 6. The Bible said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. So just as sure as there's an evil doctrine or a devil's doctrine, there's good doctrine. There's God's doctrine. And God's doctrine is right here in the Word of God. Somebody was preaching years ago. I can't remember where it was. But a preacher said this. A preacher said, there are a lot of youngins today that can't tell you one verse of Scripture by memory, but they can tell you what's ever on every channel on the cable. Say amen. And today it goes a lot further than that. They can tell you all about Facebook and Twitter, and they can tell you all about that, but they can't tell you anything about the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, beloved, if we're going to stay with God and have a life that counts for God, we've got to stay with the book. Amen. The doctrine. We have to have the right doctrine. Look at verse 13. He said, till I come. Paul is telling Timothy, until I get over there where you're at, I want you to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And I believe this is important. When the Bible talks about exhortation, exhorting one another, that's lifting one another up. Listen, young people are a whole lot like moms and dads. We get down, and we need somebody to encourage us, and we need somebody to lift us up. Amen. We need somebody, as we talked about this morning, to take us under their wing and say, listen, I'm here to help you anytime. Here's my phone number. You call me. You text me. And if I can help you, I want to help you in this walk of life. I want you to make it. Amen. We need some adults tonight in the auditorium to be praying. God, give me one of them youngins. Don't just give them to me on the outside, but put them in my heart that I can minister to them and help them and make sure that they have what they need. Amen. Ask them some Bible questions. Challenge them to read a chapter. Ask them what they learned in Sunday school and show a lot of little concern. You say, preacher, all the youngins have somebody to do that. No, they don't. If you start asking around, you'd find it out too. Amen. Beloved, I believe God wants us to care. He wants us to be right in our doctrine. Look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I believe, listen, I'm trying to put an emphasis on purpose on Bible doctrine, because if we're going to make it for the glory of God and have a life that counts for the glory of God, whether we're young or old or somewhere in between, we have to have Bible and the Bible doctrine that it teaches. Not only do we need to be right in our doctrine, but secondly, we need to be right in our prayer life. Look at verse number 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. In verse number 3, it said, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. I believe, listen, I'm not going to argue with you, but I believe this is a perfect picture of the Catholic Church. They want the priests never to marry. They forbid them to marry. And there's times that they don't allow them to eat any meat. I believe it's a perfect picture of that Catholic Church and the way that it's set up. But the Bible said in verse number 4, every creature of God is good. What that's saying is in the Greek is deer meat's good and wild turkey's good. I'm not talking about the stuff that comes in a bottle. I'm talking about the stuff that has feathers on it. Amen? And you get the feathers off of it and put it on the grill. It's good. I'm telling you, it's good. I had some last week. It's good. Amen? And he said, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Look at verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. God in his word is always putting an emphasis on doctrine. Yes, the word of God, but prayer. Somebody said when we read the word of God, God talks to us. When we pray, we talk to God. And he needs to do most of the talking. I believe that's the truth. Amen. We need to pray. Be right in our prayer life. Listen to what John Bunyan said. I thought this was awesome. He said, when thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. In other words, don't just pray and be saying words and there's no heart, there's no meaning, there's no feeling in what you're saying. He said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. How many believe that? Hey, amen. You get out of fellowship with God, you want to be anywhere in this world except out of this world in the presence of God in his throne room. Amen. But if you can get in tune and get in touch with God and have a prayer line that's open, then, beloved, you can make it for the glory of God. Be right in our prayer line. And then, thirdly, tonight, we need to be right in our priorities. Listen, I'm preaching tonight with a heart for what God illustrated this morning. I don't want those youngins down there and out there. Amen. I want them here in the will of God. Amen. Serving God. But I'm telling you, they can't do it without the doctrine that's right. They can't do it without a prayer life that's right. And they can't do it without priorities that are right. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse number 8. The Bible said, "But God, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." I'm picking on Chance tonight. Chance, when you guys get ready for baseball, you have to lift some weight somewhere along the way, don't you? You have to run somewhere along the way. There's all kinds of exercises involved and stretches involved. Is that right, brother? Along the way. I mean, you don't just run out there cold on the ball field and expect to do a good job and not hurt yourself or be taken out of the game. In other words, there's much preparation. And I pray to God that Chance never forgets what I'm about to say tonight. But this world is full of young people that are forever preparing their body and hardly ever preparing their heart and their spirit and their soul. I believe priorities are important. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. But I'm telling you, beloved, there is something wrong if we can exercise 10 hours during a week and don't give God 10 minutes in the Word of God during the week. Amen. Don't give God 10 minutes in prayer during the week. Things are out of balance and the priorities are wrong. Help me tonight. Am I telling it right? Beloved, listen, it's not just young people that have a hard time with priorities. Amen. How many knows it's easy to watch a 3-hour ball game? Easy. It's a piece of cake, amen, for somebody that likes a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. I watched some of Wimbledon when they were playing tennis. It's a piece of cake to watch a match. Get your Bible down, go to read it for an hour and see what happens. Somebody tell me what's going to happen. Somebody tell me right quick. Give me that first word that comes to your mind. What? You're going to get sleepy. I'm glad I'm not the only one, amen. I wonder why that is. You reckon the enemy knows that if we put our nose in this book and put our heart in the throne room of God and keep a priority that's right in our life, that he's liable to be defeated? Help me tonight. I believe he knows it. And so, beloved, he wants to put us to sleep. He wants to distract. If the phone's ever going to ring at the wrong time, listen, this was before cell phones. I don't know how many times I've been in a home and God dealing with somebody's heart, tears on their cheek, God convicting them, and the phone ring. I don't know how many times somebody knocked on the door. Just about that time, we have an enemy that's very, very real, beloved. Very real. And he doesn't want us to have our priorities right. Brother Brian mentioned this morning, I think he was talking about Billy Mitchell talking about idols, and he said the garages are full of idols, something like that. And he always does a good job in Sunday school. But listen, I like what Brother Brian said. There's nothing wrong with this or this or this until it gets out of balance, until the priorities get wrong, amen, and we live for the wrong thing. And so he said, bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe we should exercise. I believe the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I believe we ought to take care of it. Not much preached on that anymore, but that's the truth. Amen. The Bible teaches it in the book of Corinthians. But I don't believe that ought to be the priority. I believe the inward man ought to be the priority. Amen. That inward man. Feed that inward man. It was brought up again this week. I believe Brother Johnny Pope brought it up in the meeting. About the old preacher said, he said, "I got saved," and he said, "down inside of me ever since," he said, "it's just like two dogs are fighting." And he even said it. I couldn't believe he was still saying it. He said, "It's like a black dog and a white dog." Years ago, I quit saying that. I say it's like a good dog and a bad dog. You say, why? How many knows why? God help us. But he said there's like a black dog and a white dog. And somebody asked the old preacher, said, well, which one of them dogs wins? He said, whichever one I feed the most. We need to starve the bad dog. Every one of us got a bad dog. Somebody help me tonight. And we need to feed the good dog. The Word of God. Have a priority. That's right. Fourthly tonight, I told you I wasn't going to preach long, but I ain't done yet. Number four, we need to be right in our motives. He said, preacher, where'd you get this in the chapter? Look at it with me, please. The Bible said in verse number 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Because? Why? Little kids used to say, why because? Why because? Because we trust in the living God. Beloved, listen, our motive tonight for staying by the stuff should never be, because it pleases mama, because it pleases daddy, because it pleases pastor, because it pleases mamaw, because it pleases papaw. And I'll tell you this, a papaw, mamaw, a mom, a dad, a pastor that loves God will be pleased when somebody walks with God. A youth director, Brother Preston, will be pleased when them young'uns walk with God. But that cannot be the motive. The motive must be because we've trusted in the living God and we love Jesus. That needs to be the motive. That motive will work on the mountain. That motive will work in the valley. That motive will work when things are going well, Brother Aaron. That motive will work when the bottom has fell out of all of it. Amen. I love Jesus and He loves me. And that's all I need to know, beloved, listen, that I'm in His hand and He is in control of my life. We need to be right in our priorities. We need to be sure that we're saved. Be sure that we're living to please the Savior and not men. Amen. I believe that Paul could say, we labor? Yes, we do. We suffer reproach? Yes, we do. Let me tell you something. If these young'uns halfway live for God, they're going to be made fun of down at the school. How many knows I'm telling it right? If they don't listen to the filthy jokes and look at the filthy literature and they won't run with that crowd that's cursing and using God's name in vain. And while it's on my heart, I heard this while I was visiting with a family yesterday. I didn't listen to the speech, but I looked it up on the internet, and our president used God's name in vain twice while he was in North Carolina in that rally. We need to be praying, folks. The verse that immediately came to my mind, God resisteth the proud. Listen, we need to be careful about a haughty spirit. We need to be careful about, say amen. Amen. And this is the way I'm going to ask you to pray tonight. It's a golden opportunity. Brother Mike Pence needs to set him down and say, brother, that's my father. Help me tonight. You say, preacher, you'll be persecuted for preaching like that. I'd tell him myself if I had his ear. It's out of line. It's unnecessary. It's not God's last name. Say amen. You say, now, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, beloved, there's a lot of people in this country that consider themselves to be evangelicals that ought to be hurting in their heart when they hear something like that, regardless of who says it. Amen. Tonight, if our young people live for God, they're going to be like Paul. They're going to suffer reproach. They're going to be like Paul. They're not going to be the popular one at school. And it's, listen, sometimes I think people think it's easy until the going gets tough. I'm going to tell you something right now. When the going gets tough, why don't you just get it on your mind what it must have been like going up Calvary's Hill? Get it in your mind what it was like to have your back that had already been opened up with that whip against that wood, sliding up and down, trying to get a breath. Get it in your mind what it was like when that mallet hit those spikes and drove them in his hands and his feet and the thorns pulled down in his head. Say, blessed be God, I'm going with God. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved friend, need to be right in our doctrine. Be right in our prayer life. Be right in our priorities. Be right in our motives. Do the right thing, but do it for the right reason. Amen. Then we need to be the right example. Look at verse 12. This ain't quite how it was the other day at the cabin, is it, Brother Preston? Amen. I went through this chapter a little bit the other day. You know what I could do? I don't say this boastfully, but I just know the Lord. I could go through this chapter again next Sunday, and it wouldn't be like this either. There's enough in this Bible to preach 10 lifetimes and never preach the same thing. It's a good book. It's a truth that we need. We need to be the right example. Look at verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Paul is talking to the young preacher. Paul led him to Christ. Paul, no doubt, probably was one of those in the presbytery that laid hands on him when he was called to preach. He said, I want you to be an example of the believers. I want you to be an example. I do thank God for the examples that God is raising up in our church for the younger children. Now, I'm not talking about senior citizens now. God is raising up a group of young people that love Jesus and that can look around and see children that don't have what they've had. Children that aren't loved the way they've been loved and want to have a part in ministering to those little hearts and those little lives. And for that, I'm grateful. Be an example. You say, preacher, how can Timothy, how can our young people, how can we be an example to our young people, and our young people be an example at school? He said, I want you to be an example of the believers in word. Let me ask you something. How many of you, I'm asking now, I talked about our president a while ago, let's bring it home. I'm not necessarily talking about using God's name in vain. But how many of you are believers, but if somebody would have been standing around the corner and you, when you said something another, they wouldn't have been able to figure out by what you said you as a believer. How many knows what I'm talking about? Maybe you said it in anger. Maybe you said it in haste. Maybe you said it without thinking. I love what Brother Steve told me the other day. Brother Preston, listen, I'm not throwing this to anybody. I don't know who's got a tattoo and who ain't. Amen. But Brother Steve, Brother Preston, some way or another got into a conversation about tattoos. And Brother Steve told Brother Preston, he said, well, if I could, he said, I believe I'd get a tattoo. And Brother Preston said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'd have it tattooed on the back of my eyelids. Think first. There's a lot more than Brother Steve around here needs. That somebody help me tonight. We've all got that stinking flesh. Amen. Think first. But he said, be an example of the believer in word, in conversation. You say, preach, that's the same thing. No. Conversation in the Bible is talking about a way of life, a manner of life, the way we behave ourselves, not just in what we say, but in our actions, to be an example in charity, in love, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. Beloved, there's nothing in this world, nothing encouraging our young people to be pure. Nothing. Everything is just opposite. But this book will encourage you to be pure. It'll encourage you to save yourself for your wife or for your husband. Say amen. It'll encourage you to do the right thing. I read this and I thought it was good. And I'm done. Be the right example. A study once disclosed that if a mom and a dad attend church regularly, 72% of their children remain faithful. If only the dad, then 55% remain faithful. If only the mom, 15% remain faithful. If neither attend church regularly, Only 6% remain faithful. The statistics speak for themselves. The example of parents and adults is more important than all the efforts of the church and the Sunday school. Think about that for just a moment. For us, we'd say the church, the children's church, and the Sunday school, and the youth program. None of that can take the place. The percentage of American teens who say they want to be like their parents. Anybody interested in that? 39%. 39% of the teenagers in America will say, I want to be like my mom and dad. Years ago, the communist country or government in China, how many of you ever heard of Hudson Taylor? He was a great missionary to China, to inland China. Years ago, the communist government in China, I want you to listen to this and I'm done, commissioned an author to write a biography of Hudson Taylor with the purpose of distorting the facts and presenting him in a bad light. They wanted to discredit the name of this consecrated missionary of the gospel. And as the author was doing his research, he was increasingly impressed by Taylor's saintly character and godly life. And he found it extremely difficult to carry out his assigned task with a clear conscience. Eventually, at the risk of losing his life, he laid down his pen, renounced his atheism, and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Whether we realize it or not, our example leaves an impression on others. I say, let's be a good example. Let's be an example of the believers. How many's glad you come tonight?
Amen.
Appreciate you coming.